Blog Talk Radio.
When I created Carapy several years back, I was looking to do something for something big in the way of hair loss. As host of the show and all these other amazing things and being in and around the hair and beauty folks for so long and listening to the cries, the deafening cries of our amazing fans who suffer with hair loss, and it affects so many people. We're talking high numbers here who struggle with hair loss and the medical term alopecia. And so I wanted to address this product line in something that I felt could make a difference and literally give them a fighting chance to...
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapy Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Joker, she's
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com, because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
It is the biggest hair story since the Gorilla Glue Girl. It is my great honor to welcome back to the Hair Radio Morning Show, after so many years being with us, to kind of help navigate the waters out there, near choppy waters when it comes to talking about hair care, the one and only legendary hairstylist, newspaper publisher, social media maven for all things hair and beauty. We're talking about the one and only Cheryl Morrow, our friend and longtime associate here. Good morning to you. Welcome, Cheryl Morrow.
Good morning, Carrie. Thanks for having
me. Oh, it's my pleasure. I also want to just take a moment and bring to the line someone who has kind of gotten on our radar in recent years, and I wanted to present the dichotomy in all this. I have to say, it's my great pleasure. You guys know him from our New Year's Eve special. He helped to anchor our coverage when we were celebrating right here live on the show that night. And just want to say hello again to Statewide Chip, who is from the Philadelphia area. Hello. And Cheryl, you're out in San Diego area. I just want to make all that kind of clear this morning. But Statewide Chip, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Hello there.
Yes, yes. Hello. And to Cheryl. So here, let us just kind of remind everybody, because at this point right now, there are a few things that may change. It's still a fluid story, and I have to just kind of take everybody back a little bit and give some backstory on this. Okay, the Oscars at this point were less than a couple of days ago, literally, and everybody, the whole world is aware of this slap, literally, that Will Smith, unhappy with the joke that Chris Rock apparently told. And so he walked on stage at the Oscars, and he slapped Chris Rock, comedian Chris Rock, in the face and walked back off stage. And the whole world has been talking about it. I've called it Slapgate. So first, well, that's my little name for it. But first, I want to weigh in just from Cheryl Morrow. I just want to get your take on all of this. And now there are a couple of big factors, and I'm going to see if Cheryl touches on them, because I think there are a few layers to this. And we'll take it from there, Cheryl. What do you have? First of all, Cheryl, were you watching the Oscars when this happened, when the news broke?
But my mother was watching it, and I had seen it before this, and then of course by the time I got home, and my mother was on the phone, and then I got it in real time, just therefore on Twitter, and so I had seen everything prior, right up to there, and then I left. And so by the time I got home, it had already transpired.
What were your thoughts? What went through your mind?
Oh my God! Like you said, Well, when you understand the relationship that Will Smith, just as a black man, has had with black America, I think just from the onset of who he's been to hip-hop and then who he's been to just Hollywood, you know, as a broad stroke there. But, you know, black American men have been, they've been at odds for us for a while. And it has a lot of components in dealing with masculinity and what femininity means. I think that we all garnered around their relationship, him and Jada, early on. And I don't think that we've adjusted as they, you know, are growing old together. And, you know, and as individuals evolve. And I don't think that I think there's many triggers in their relation together that triggers us as black people. And so if we're really willing to talk about those triggers, then we can have a fair conversation. But, you know, just face value, you can make a judgment on behavior and things of that nature. But I think their relationship is indicative of a lot of psychosocial, economic, and cultural triggers. And so deal with it like that, then we're going to have a conversation that's a lot fuller, a lot more productive and efficient. But I don't think that as a collective we're willing to have, you know, we'll salad bar and handpick what we want to talk about, but we won't talk about the elephant in the room. That's just, you know, my opinion.
Okay. Now, is the elephant the elephant, the way I look at it, is the Oscars, the hashtag Oscars so white. So to me, the whole conversation, I mean, there's so many layers to this, and I don't really want to start with race necessarily. On that level, in terms of the Oscars. But I have to go there because it is an important part to the story. It's like the fourth, you know, the fourth wall to me, you know, in the sitcoms, it's the fourth wall. It's because there is a huge history with this program being steeped in, kind of maintaining this whole thing of excluding women and also people of color from award categories and voting and all, the whole nine. So they finally, to me, I thought it was a great, and this has all been overshadowed by, perhaps in my opinion, about the actions of Will that night. But before I kind of get into that, Cheryl, so I just want to touch on some of the things that you said. You mentioned the relationship between Will and Jada. So they're the relationship issues between Will and Jada. They're the relationship issues between Will and Black America. And I think you kind of mentioned that. And also Will and White America.
Mm-hmm. Well.
And not to mention Will and Chris.
Well,
and Chris and Jada.
Let's just start with, first of all, I think Chris Rock doesn't have the star quality. He doesn't have the you know, he hasn't had great look in Hollywood. He's had a lot of luck in stand-up. But on the silver screen, he has not had luck there. Okay. One of the things that I don't think that, and it depends on how but I don't think we've gotten over the betrayal of what that film ended up doing to Black America. That film, Good Hair, is, I think,
Cheryl. Yes, we've got to talk about Good Hair. So I definitely want to talk about that because I think there's a lot with Good Hair all by itself.
Realize the irony of the joke.
Right. Exactly. Totally.
Right.
But guess what? But Cheryl, I don't think that folks outside of the hair community may really get the irony of it. But we're going to delve into that. We're going to delve right into that. But before we do that, I want to turn over to my other guest, Statewide Chip from Philadelphia. You're known in that community. You are a rap artist. We've played your songs right here on our Hair Radio Network and the Hair Radio Morning Show and all of this wonderful good stuff. So I have to get your opinion. I wanted someone who represented the rap community, also a guy like me, so to have that kind of perspective, and, and someone who, you know, maybe there's another way to look at it. So what is your position? Did you watch this or did you later? Because I can't imagine you sitting at home saying, you know, telling your girlfriend, let's catch up with the Oscars tonight. So, Statewide Chip, were you watching this or when did you hear about the slap that was seen and heard elsewhere?
I was actually out and about, it came about through Twitter, actually. I saw it on Twitter and YouTube and things like that. I didn't see it live, no. But the video
what,
and everything.
What was
in
your mind?
You know,
what was the first impression that you had?
The first thing that I thought it was staged. I honestly thought it was fake.
And when did you realize it was not staged?
I guess later on, as the night went on and everybody was talking.
Uh-huh.
The jazz. The orange one. And I realized that it was serious, the orange one. Jazz, the orange one. The orange box.
Okay. Well, while it seems, you know, that's the case, what? I'm just curious, once you realize that it was not staged, did it change your, you know, did it create an impression in you and, you know, and if so, how?
Honestly, I just thought it was a bit much. I didn't think that it was for the Oscars. Whatever the situation was, you know, I felt they could have handled it a little bit differently. I was listening to what you guys said earlier, and I kind of agree, like, as far as black folks and you know, as far as people of color, we never really had a good or a great representation at the Oscars, whether it was because of our you know, unfair chances or, you know, our women actresses that have been looked over from multiple reasons. And just as a people as a whole, I think that it kind of set us back a little bit. As far as the Oscars, I don't know how people really feel about the Oscars. It's not really a big deal to a lot of people, but for the people that, you know, are in that industry and that work hard and are trying to, you know, make a name for themselves and keep acting and coming, I think it kind of worked against us a little bit.
Well, one last follow-up quick question for you, Statewide Chip. As a rapper, and in terms of the street cred type thing going on, do you think Chris Rock should have slapped him back?
what I can say, honestly...
Tell us the truth. That's what we want, honestly.
I don't know if he's... He maybe not there, but if he did, I believe it would have been very much so justified and understandable if he did. I know for me as a man, that would never fly. I wouldn't. I mean, if we're in the Oscars, if we're outside, in any situation, I don't feel like I could never allow myself to be smacked by another man. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how. You know, I guess I don't know if it was shock or what, but when I saw it, honestly, the first thing that my reaction was, I flinched a little bit because I wanted him to swing back. It's just a reaction to me. But I do think that as far as Will doing what he did first, I think that he did a good job at not allowing it to get any worse than what it already was. I mean, it's kind of a hard call because I feel like if anybody smacks me, I'm smacking them back. But I mean,
not the
same time. At the same time, though, I do, I do somewhat commend him for showing some kind of restraint, because I know that I could, I probably would not have. So
awesome. Awesome. Thank you for that sentiment. Cheryl, what do you say to that? And let me ask you, just to be fair, the same question. Would you have, what would have been your visceral reaction? Is it like one of those knee, you know, where they used to hit your knee to get a reaction? How would you have handled it, Cheryl Morrow?
I probably would have considered, and I think that Chris Rock did a very good job of composing himself. I think he did a excellent job. I am not a Chris Rock fan, but I think that he did. He had what he conflict minimized. And that is what he should have done. Because and let's just be clear. I think Will lost it, and don't think that it was all about Chris. I think that is what he did say, in terms of, because of course black culture, see, this is one of the things that black people don't really want to deal with, that first of all, we're emotionally different. And I don't know if he saw that joke, or he got extra money for that joke, because of course the joke, first of all, it was a bad joke just in and of itself, because first of all, no one cared about G.I. Jane at that point. I don't even
How old is G.I. Jane movie just to begin with, right?
You know, it's so, about 35 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is not, you know, Jada knew what it was, and of course my generation knew it. Well, I don't even know if Chip, you even saw it. I mean,
Chip probably never even heard of G.I. Jane or Demi Moore.
Right.
You know.
But that therein lies the whole thing. And I just believe that he did the best he could. I think he did a very good job in composing himself.
Exactly.
That is what we would have wanted him to do. And even though Will Smith did lose it in that moment, it's like you said, it's a part of a whole, it's a whole pathology there that has caused him to choose that outlet for his pain and his relationship with black men, making fun of certain attributes of black females that just really ran its course at this point. I think I think all black comedians, especially black male comedians, probably know that there should be certain things that just are just triggers.
Let me say this. I'm going to jump on in on here, because this is where I want to make sure that we look a little bit. We're going to peel back a layer to this. For me, my honest, real opinion was that Chris Rock, that joke, I Carrie Hines, didn't find it to be so alarming to me. I don't know who G.I. Jane is. And she looked exactly like she could play the part. And that's the way I saw it. I thought there was truth to it. So that's a part of comedy. And the other thing, right, and Demi Moore, who was a gorgeous lady, and this movie was pretty much at the height of her success, and she was just fine. And it wasn't a degrading, you know, derogatory comment as far as I looking out. And Will Smith apparently felt the same way initially, because he was laughing.
He was, right, that part. He was definitely laughing.
He was laughing. And then he happens to look over, and Jada appeared to be really disturbed. And that's what, now this is what I want to take a stab at. And Cheryl, this is where you come in. You are the hair expert. You come from a long lineage, shouting out to your dad, of course, Willie Morrow, and all that you guys are about. You are the hair business. And so I want to get your opinion on this, because to me, my studying of alopecia, which, you know, this has been very big for me, Now, I can't say I've not looked in her scalp, but what appeared to me to be alopecia, but perhaps not as it was quoted, medical alopecia, in my opinion, to me appeared to possibly be a form of traction alopecia. So I can't lump it with something to kind of make folks feel that it was like cancer or something like that. It's not a life-threatening type of a disorder, if you will, and especially traction alopecia, because traction alopecia is typically from, one's hand in terms of, damaging your hair, if you will. So that's the one form of alopecia that is avoidable. It is 100% avoidable. And so if anything, I would lump it with that. But that's not the discourse that it seems that was trying to be presented. From my, all of this is my feeling. I don't know how you feel about that, Cheryl Morrow. So what are your thoughts?
Well, the traction alopecia is not avoidable. It's reversible.
Well, Cheryl, I'm going to take you to task on that. Well, it depends. It depends on when they catch it. But early, it's avoidable in that you don't have to have your braids too tight. And you don't have to wear the same hairstyle until your hair is just, to your ears. So that's what I mean by it being avoidable.
Well,
I'm not saying once you get it, it may not be reversed. It depends on when you catch it and type stuff. So that it gets deeper, as you know.
Well, put it this way. Regardless, but you're talking about if it's self-induced,
right,
or if it just happens because of, and where it happens, but it's usually reversible. It may not happen at that particular time. It may not happen immediately, but traction alopecia, and I want you to make sure that we get these terms from dermatology.
Well, no, I'm aware. See, the type of alopecia that I think might be a little bit more people will say it's reversible, like the universalis or areata. It's usually the universalis, which will come back after, so there's a whole lot to this. And we're not going to drill it down that far. I just want to make
my point is, it depends on who's talking about it, because the points. And dermatology deals with scalp. They don't deal with how the traction comes.
Right, exactly. The skin,
And so that leaves a little nuance for cosmetologists to determine that. And unfortunately, we don't give enough credence to cosmetologists or even trichologists enough to supersede what dermatology says. And what dermatology says, because they have MD at the end of their name, that's the end-all be-all, which is part of the problem. But I won't
Cheryl, we're going to hear from the MDs out there on this, but we're going to send your letters to Cheryl tomorrow.
I teach medical doctors. I'm a teacher's teacher.
Yeah.
I teach medical doctors about
Cheryl.
Especially when it comes to textured hair. Anyway, but in terms of the GI Jane component connection with the alopecia, see what do jokes do? Jokes provoke.
Mm.
So jokes provoke, and jokes are satire, which means that they make fun of you or they make fun of something in a satire way. They connect you to it, and then they have a lot of dichotomy in it, and then double stand. It's just packed. It's loaded.
True.
So the key here is to understand, why would it be G.I. Jane and not Wakanda? Because black women have worn, and women have worn that hairstyle in many.
True, bro.
And now,
that's a good point.
A lot of Hasidic and Orthodox Jews, their women shave their hair off and they wear wigs.
Wear the wigs, right.
But he specifically said J.I.J. And this is one of the reasons why it is important to make sure that when we talk about us and we try to unpack things that happened to us, G.I. Jane is akin to masculinity.
Wow.
Masculate Jada. He was going someplace else that black culture already knows what he's saying. Because if you when you masculate Jane, then who are you feminizing?
Oh, I got it. Ooh. Well, that's
feminizing
been a part of the... Right. No, we got you.
See, that comment and joke was packed with other things. That's why Jada looked like that, because he could have akened her to the warriors in Wakanda. Why didn't he do that?
Right. It might have gone over a little bit better. That's a good point.
He chose that because there is something going on in our culture that he is connected to, and Will knows he's connected to it because Will's connected to it. We are. Chip is. Everybody's connected to black culture. And what that means to us is that he would go over all of the other examples of women wearing their hair like that. And then that has nothing to do with us. Nothing. G.I. Jane has nothing to do with us. But he went there. And so my point is that when we slow it down, we will begin to really unpack the elephant in the room, and that is that what black males think about Will in their hearts.
And that's exactly. I'm so glad, Cheryl. It's like we are in the same mental space on this, because that's exactly what I wanted to turn to Statewide Chip, rapper from Philadelphia. I needed to address this to you, Statewide Chip. And that is what we as black men, and particularly the rap community, because, you know, I'm not the biggest rap aficionado, but in the past, Will Smith was never seen, in my belief, or perceived to be a gangsta rapper.
Not at all.
I don't think anybody would confuse him with being a gangsta rapper. And so he even said that he went out on many times to say he doesn't even curse in his rap song.
Right.
So I was shocked to hear a curse word come out of his mouth a couple times, I think, that night. So what was that, Statewide?
No, I think we all were.
You all were,
that's
right?
That's kind of the point where I knew that it wasn't that's the emotion that I saw. That's when I kind of knew it was her.
That's when you knew something was really not quite right. Well, listen, that's what I want to ask you about this. So as far as the rapping world is concerned, he was, in the past, I think he was considered more of a lightweight, if you will, not to really pass so much judgment on his rap skills or what have you, but, you know, coming from someone who was in that arena. So does this help? I'm just curious as well. Does it help, as far as his rap street cred is concerned?
I think this was actually a blow. I'm not exactly sure what his whole intentions was, because like you said before, he laughed at the joke first before he took it, you know, to heart. He laughed at it. So I kind of honestly think that he only did what he did because Jada looked at him, however she looked at him. I can't speak for everybody, but in my opinion, that was also like a big softy moment. Like, you gotta do better. Like, you can't. I mean, because at the end of the day, she did a whole bunch of stuff to that man and has him still out here looking real crazy in a lot of people's eyes. It's just the things that she put out there and the things that she's allowing to go on and allowing him to go through on the internet. It didn't seem like if the joke would have been reversed on Will, I don't think she would have jumped up and slapped nobody for Will. I don't. And I honestly feel like everything.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Everything that's been going on with them two in the media, it's always looked down on Will. It's always been she's doing
exactly.
This, she's saying this, she's saying this, she's saying this. And she never really stops. There's never been no public apology. She's drugged that man through the mud, for me, the past couple of years. And so when it came down to that,
wow.
I didn't think that that was necessary at all on Will's behalf. Like, I mean, he could have said something to him. He could have did it any kind of way. But to me, to jump out the window like that, it looked like he was over-emotional. It looked like he was doing things just because his wife basically told him to. So that doesn't necessarily make him look any more masculine than anything. It kind of makes him look like a – it kind of looks like a sucker to me. Like, she told him to jump, and he jumped. I would never
and
have
And now,
that was
statewide, Chip, I've seen pictures of you. You look like you can take on just about anybody out there. Would you really take on somebody who is way less than a third of your size?
Nah,
you know,
I don't.
What do you think?
I think that that was a, I don't know, maybe that was a cry for help. Maybe that was a way to try to get himself pushed in a different direction in the media. Because like I said, he's been the butt of a lot of jokes. In
exactly.
media since Jada did whatever she did, and I feel like Jada really hasn't been too much of a joke. Everything's been on Will. So at the end of the day, karma don't miss. So maybe that was just a little piece of karma for her. So if she didn't like it, well, she wasn't supposed to like it. Everybody jokes. Everybody doesn't take jokes the same way. But at the same time, they're on a platform to where they're criticized often. Everybody has something to say about superstars and movie stars and this and that. So I don't think that she should have taken it to the point where she, oh, my God, I'm going to kill myself or anything like that. But I don't think that she should have expected Will to be as much as he did, too, because there's jokes. Comedians joke on people every day. And everybody shows there's jokes about celebrities and all of that every day. So I don't think that that was the worst thing he could have said. I don't think it was the best thing. But I don't think it was sufficient for sure.
And it seemed to me that she, thank you, Statewide Chip, that she kind of gave him the sick'em look. You know,
right.
I call it. That's
he
the sick'em
right.
look.
He jumped.
She didn't seem to, you know, try to intervene. Morrow, when you hear something like this, and it's not a secret. It is not a secret. She has totally put their business out there several times. About Will Smith and entanglement. Let's just, you know, talk about the elephants in the room. There's several elephants in this room. So the entanglement stuff, all of this, which appeared to be fodder for the internet and social media, which might have contributed to Will, you know, all this stuff finally reining in emotionally. When you hear this, do you, you know, what do you think? Do you think that, you know, that she should have walked back a lot of this? Maybe his masculinity was already, you know, being questioned by some from all of her own doing.
Right.
Well, it is very clear that Black Americans redefine what masculinity is. And I think that when we get polyamorous, and we get into open relationships, Black men don't like what they get.
Hey.
When a woman is vocal about her experiences, like she's supposed to be, then we want to feminize the male and masculinize the female. Because antiquated, the woman. And when it doesn't play out that way, then we want to say someone is actually acting improper.
Mm.
When it's just someone who is just as exercising what, let's say, if Hillary Clinton had more of a Jada perspective, what do you think would have happened to Mr. Clinton?
Oh, to repeat that for us, Cheryl Morrow?
I'm saying, what if Hillary Clinton had more of a Jada Pinkett Smith attitude versus shutting up and being quiet and not, quote-unquote, putting their business in the street, even though Mr. Clinton put it in the street?
Mm-hmm.
So we have what we call Jada is vocal. She's not supposed to. Of course, that goes against the status quo. And a female is always supposed to protect the discretions of a male. But women have to come around the other way. We don't have a program for that. So therefore, we call it bad. We're not used to women being vocal about their experiences. We would have spoke about nothing glory and his graces, oh, that would have been fine. But then when we talk about some of their human shortcomings, oh, then that's acceptable. So we just find what is happening. We're growing up with them because we were loving them as long as they, when they first got together, even before they had Willow and Jalen, right?
Jalen. Yeah.
So we're growing up with them. They're evolving. They're evolving as human beings, and they have an open relationship. But it's very key to understand. Do you think Chris Rock would have had enough?
And we don't know for a fact that they have an open. Let's just make sure that's clear. We don't know for a fact that they have an open relationship, but it appears by many
no,
to
they
be
said
that,
it.
That that way.
No, they said it.
Yeah, they had an open relationship for a long time.
They said.
They both admitted to that.
Okay.
And my point is that two things. The question is, black men, would Chris Rock have said that about Denzel's wife? And to answer that question, would someone have taken Ossie Davis to task about it? So we have to understand, we pick on certain people, we pick them out, because there's a lot of rappers who don't have cuss words in their rap. There's actually more of those than there are, because we do realize, just like ethnic groups, gangster rap is the segment of hip-hop, it's not hip-hop.
Now that's well said, I think. I'm just curious, do you agree with that statewide shift? I know that's a sidebar comment, but do you agree with that? I'm just curious.
I can't fully agree with that. Well, which part? Are you talking about the rap part, or are you talking about...
Yeah, Cheryl's statement that gangster rap is a segment of rap music. It is not, the total...
I mean, rap originated from your story, telling our story and being truthful about it. Gangster rap, not necessarily, but it wasn't a bad thing. It was something that had never been done before. It changed from the party to the hip-hop, hip-hop. It changed from that to us actually telling our story, our real life situation. I don't think gangster rap is necessarily to glorify being gangster or whatever the case that we're talking about. It's just us talking about our reality, what's going on in our hoods, what's going on in these ghettos, what's going on in these streets that people aren't necessarily talking about. It was telling our story. It gave us our truth. So I
right.
think
no,
it's
no.
just
yeah.
it's a segment. No, I think that it's gangster rap is the essence of rap. That's where rap came from.
Right. No, nobody's disagreeing with. I don't think we're disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm just saying that. You know what I think Cheryl's point was that it's much more. Rap is bigger than just to say call it gangster rap is I think the thing.
Right.
Well, it's only a segment. It's only a
right.
segment.
It's only a segment. A small part of it.
The larger part of it is storytelling. It's Fresh. It's Most Def. It's KRS-One. It's storytelling. It's the Last Poet. It's Gil Scott-Heron. It's Millie Jackson. It is so much more than that.
Right, exactly.
And so Will Smith's style of artistry is more similar to most people. And it's funny that how we just broad stroke things because O'Shea, which is Ice Cube, he is middle class. He don't have no history in ghettoism or whatever we think that is. Or street. Ice Cube grew up middle class, and that his mother will be very clear about that, and one of the reasons why she had to be introduced and he had to hide his involvement in NWA because his mother was like, you don't have nothing connected to that. You didn't grow up like that. You grew up with your parents working and shit. We drove a Volvo and we in cars and we didn't, you know. So my point is that once we let everything fall from the fray of whatever agenda we have or whatever we want to say, at the end of the day, Black America must be able to deal with its own cultural triggers and what things mean to us when we become to conflict minimize or conflict resolve or whatever we tend to do together. Because I hope Will and Chris are on the phone because they are also victims of, you know, just of this dichotomous kind of logic. Like you have to have, you know, when you're saying someone is over masculine, then it's got to be somebody who's under feminine. You know what I mean? It's always this dichotomy going on. And it has nothing to do with the fact that we did appreciate how vocal this couple was in the beginning. Now, they're growing up. They're getting old. And they're growing into their elder. You know, we're growing up. And I don't know if you guys read the GQ magazine when it was when Will Smith was on the cover. And
no.
It's a very good article, by the way. It allows you to go inside the man himself. But you know, when a man like Will Smith is very educated, but he's not without trouble and pain and being human and being discombobulated and disoriented and dealing with a lot of you know, his career and then his family and then his son, his children. And, you know, I'm sure it's much. I really do. But, in fact, I will say this. I have not been a Will Smith fan either, and I think that I find him so much more intriguing now than he allowed us to see our collective team in his moment.
Exactly. I totally feel the same way, Cheryl Morrow. For me personally, and I'm from Philadelphia, I salute him being a fellow Philadelphian, if you will, and I know, shout out to you as well, Statewide Chip, you're from Philadelphia as well, but I have to say that, you know, I wasn't the biggest Will Smith fan only because I, Carrie Hines, did not get the sense of authenticity that I need to, that I like to have in folks that I kind of admire, but I do want to say this. I want to go ahead and just turn right on this conversation to another one of the elephants in the room, and that is the Good Hair documentary. So let me go to the documentary. Cheryl Morrow, I'm calling you the documentary queen because, you know, as I always tell you, you're hair royalty. From the 400 Years Without a Comb documentary that first came on my radar literally decades ago. And so I have to turn to you on this. What, when you hear, and there's so much talk about Good Hair, the documentary that Chris Rock did, oh gosh, I don't even know, when was that, like the early 90s or mid 90s? I think mid 90s or late 90s.
What was that, 96? About 96,
somewhere in there. I probably should have looked it up. but Cheryl, do you remember? Listen, I have to tell the truth. The folks in the hair business were not all that pleased with this documentary. I'm not saying this and that, but I'm just saying that was the general consensus that I personally remember when it was out. And we have a lot of friends who appeared in this documentary, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I know I do, and I know you do as well, Cheryl. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on this? Because a lot, the internet is kind of getting it wrong. They're thinking that Good Hair was a documentary on alopecia. That's what seems, really? I'm like, hold it. Did they misunderstand and think Chris Rock was talking about alopecia
really?
During this documentary? That's what I've seen. I've seen quite a bit of posting. Because they just assumed that his Good Hair documentary had to be about good hair, so to speak. So, what do you say? I'm having a little bit of a license with it, but
do
you say, Cheryl?
The hair business, black hair care as a industrial complex, was probably maturing and turning into something that probably was not good for black ownership at that time. So it was morphing and it was growing and it was transitioning, shall I say. And Chris Rock's original intent when he originally called us was to consult on the base foundation of what he should be approaching and how he should be approaching.
How, exactly.
But by the time Mr. Morrow wasn't pleased because he did not appreciate Chris's approach to it because he wanted to be a box office success. See, Chris Rock had an agenda when he created and did Good Hair because he was on Oprah and, you know, and all this other crazy
stuff. Well, yeah.
He wanted to be a box office success. And so the problem with dealing with Mr. Morrow was that Mr. Morrow did not appreciate his approach after a while because he wanted to put a lot of buffoonery.
And we're talking about Cheryl's dad, by the way. So I just want to make sure folks know.
I was in New York. I was in New York with you at the time.
Oh, I remember. Did we not have a blast, Cheryl?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
And so I was traveling back and forth. And then when I went to Hollywood on the set and with the writers, I was at the beginning of the Madam C.J. Walker story on Netflix, the Self-Made.
Ooh.
But for some reason, they get off script, and they want box office successes. And they're, you know, and let's be clear, we are willing to foresee accuracy and precision for money. Let's just put it on out there. And so, but what he did not know. What that was going to do to the underpins of the foundation of what black hair care and the relationship with the Asian community and with the relationship with OTC,
mm-hmm.
He just didn't realize what that movie was going to do. And so, and we tried to tell him. So here we go again. Then you have this national outreach of policy on the state level changing independent contractors and change. And then you had this whole blog. So he didn't realize, and we tried to tell him that. So he had a lot of lot of advice he didn't take. And so the movie just was not probably good for black America, period.
Well, I have to say this. I have not met one person in the hair industry who literally stands up for that documentary. No shade intended. But
yes.
I have not, and I mean ever. And that's saying a lot.
Right.
So,
and so Good Hair is an hour of jokes that were just bad.
Mm.
So if you can accumulate it up in his stand-up caught in an hour, it was just an hour of bad jokes consecutively. And so his history with us with bad dry humor, we're just not in the mood for it.
Wow.
And that's how we kind of connect to him, unless he's doing, you know, racial stand-up, because he does racial stand-up very well.
Yeah.
And so when he gets into black culture and trying to express black culture to white America, it just doesn't work for us. It just really consistently doesn't. So the movie Good Hair is just really a satire. It's a satire, and it completely makes mockery. And this is one of the things that I did want to impart, is that why we need to get in a private conversation with just us and black women, because if black women ever, ever got on stage and talked about, let's just say for Monique, or any other black female comedian, to get and make fun of black men's ingrown hairs or hair bumps, the struggles they struggle with hair bumps and their beard and their face and their necks and all of that craziness, she would be tarred and feathered as a treason. She would be treason at that point, which means disloyal. but black women have been the brunt of black male jokes since inception. And see, and therein lies the problem. And so when we get into, like you say, Carrie, these elephants, and so if it wasn't for making fun of black women's hair in Good Hair, there wouldn't have even been a movie. Because we weren't talking about black men's hair in Good Hair. We were talking about women.
Right.
Let's be honest. It was your mother, your aunts, your sisters, your sister friends. You understand?
Yes.
So those, if Good Hair would not have existed without females, because that's what Chris says. He wanted to do something for his daughter, and I don't know where that, how that ended up. But that is my sentiments about that movie.
Right. And I'll tell you something about Good Hair. It's odd that it's bubbled back up now, that documentary.
Because we don't, because as a people, we don't understand alopecia either. We don't understand black hair. We don't understand black hair science. We just don't. It's all colloquialism at this point.
Well, you know what, Cheryl? That's what we've been trying to literally, and I'm not going to say the word untangle, because entangles and stuff mean all kind of things these days. But to unravel, we've literally tried to get at educating everybody and providing the details and information and properly educating folks on good hair tips. Like, in other words, healthy hair. To me, that's what, when we say good hair, that's what I mean, healthy hair. That's what to me is good. But I'll tell you, the other thing is, at the time, I believe Chris Rock's wife, ex-wife, I believe she had a place right here in Brooklyn, if I'm not mistaken. She used to do... I believe that's what was going on, because I think I shouted out to her a couple times way back when at that time. So there's a lot of history about a whole bunch of this. Now, I do want to just say, statewide Chip, I'll talk to you first about this. If you could tell Will Smith something, if he's listening to the – and he very well could be listening to our broadcast on Hair Radio, what would you like him to know? What would you like to say to him?
Honestly, me, man to man, like, well, you gotta pump your brakes just a tad. Like, I mean, like I said, I don't know, like, that's his wife, and I'm not married, and I can't tell anybody to do what they do in their relationship. But if the roles were reversed, if he was the butt of everybody's jokes up there, what she had showed any kind of emotion like he did, because it's been however long it's been. And he's still going through everything that he's going through in the media and in the memes and this, that, and third. And she hasn't even dropped a statement about this Chris Rock thing. She's always in the background, in the quiet. And it's like, well, if this is your husband, and everybody say, oh, this is your husband, he put this to the left. Well, what about a wife? What about a wife's role? What about some kind of emotional support? What about some kind of something? If all of this is expected from the husband, and she's the one that did all of this, I mean, as far as bringing everything to the forefront, if they had an open relationship and they had an open marriage, that's always what their business was. But when she came on TV and the internet and publicized her entanglement with a man that was her son's age, that she had in her son's house as her son's friend, that's dead wrong. If you're in an open relationship, you can swing, you can do whatever you want to do with other people that are like-minded or like age or whatever the case may be. She slept with her son's friend. That's a big, big red flag that nobody's ever seen to make her own up to. But
it didn't seem to make Will flinch, at least as far as the public eye.
When Will was on those TVs and crying, doing all this other mess or whatever, because that was a big flinch. A man that, like, I mean, not to say the men don't cry, but for a man to be on a social and or the public media eye like that in the crowd, that means he was really emotional. So he was really emotional, I get it. His emotions were in the way, but where were her emotions? Or where have her emotions been all this time? If he's the one doing all this crying and she's not doing anything, so it kind of does look a little lopsided, like, yeah, he's always in his feelings and she don't even care about nothing that's going on. But at the same time...
Well, we can't say we are not really in Jada's mind or Will's for that much. We're just kind of, from what the way it looks on the outside.
The way it looks on the outside,
Cheryl,
of me, it looks like karma.
Look at it that way. Cheryl kind of...
It looks like karma to me.
Wow, it's like
I feel like karma doesn't miss. You do dirt,
wow.
You get dirt. God don't like ugly, and sometimes things come back to you however they come back to you. And
okay, wow, okay. I guess you've made it clear, statewide, Chip. Goodness. All right, Cheryl Morrow,
yes, I have
to ask you the same thing. If you were talking to Will Smith, he's listening to this Hair Radio Morning Show special commentary with Statewide Chip and myself, Carrie Hines. What would you say to Will Smith, Cheryl Morrow?
First of all, are we private? You know, let's just say if I could have a private conversation, private conversation, and then we have then I'll say, what would I tell him if white folks was around? Let's put it that way. I'm talking honestly. I don't know. What I would not do is judge him. Only because I have, you know, I have a great father. I had great brothers, great uncles. And, you know, I just think that black men are just not able to be human, regardless if that's tears, anger, shame, or whatever, guilt, rage, whatever that looks like. There's not enough outlets for him to express himself. But I will say that I would just probably be very apologetic that he doesn't have more outlets and that he just did not know how to filter them in that moment, because it was out of character. And it's almost like I remember, Carrie, you, me, and I think a business colleague of mine at that time, Monica, we were all in the car going from Manhattan to Brooklyn when we heard the interview with Whitney Houston.
Yes.
And
you remember that, Cheryl?
And of course,
wow.
I do. And we were so appalled because
yes.
That was the first thing we ever heard Whitney go there.
Right.
And so it just goes to show you how we think that, you know, oh, my God, he used curse words. Oh, my God, he used, you know, oh, my God, Whitney Houston, like, went for Wendy. You know what I mean? Our point is that we think these people's personas are who they are. And like you did say, we don't know because we ain't, the whole Southern saying is we wasn't in the bed or under the bed. And, but we do know that polyamorous and open relationships, when they become public, triggers us as a whole. And here we go again, and not to piggyback or to just focus on what you said, Chip, in terms of we're assuming. You see how when he says, well, where's her tears? Well, we're assuming because Will is crying that she's not. And when she's crying, he's not. We don't know if they're cried together, like the OJ say. You know, we don't know. But what we do know is that it triggers us to see a black man cry. But it also makes us think she's not. And it's just a really weird way of dealing with what we think happens. But what I would tell him, I apologize that you just don't, my brothers don't have enough outlets to be either in love, to be what we perceive as soft. You know what I mean? What is always soft is not always feminine. And what is always hard is not always masculine. Maybe because, believe me, I got my ass beat by my mother harder than I've ever gotten by my father. That's not, you know, we just have a lot of isms in our culture is not and they're just not appropriate for problem solving. And obviously I'm praying and hoping that Chris and Will are actually on the phone right now and just saying, you know, brother, we in this damn bucket together. And the bucket makes the crabs act crazy, not the crabs are crazy in a sane bucket, you know. So, you know, are we really, you know, I wish I could give my whole brothers one spa retreat so they can just relax and they can just be themselves and don't have to put on any air of what they think we expect them to do. And with that kind of constant energy, it is just really, I mean, all of them are ticking time bombs.
Mm. Well, let me just say this. In this case, that's what the Hair Radio Morning Show is all about. It's diffusing those time bombs. It's being a part of a community that we know we are of greatness. And I can speak for myself and all of the men, Statewide Chip, and all of the folks that we know and interact with, feel the same way we do. Now, I do want to say, with all this being said, I just want to, first of all, thank both of you. You guys have been incredible in this conversation, because this is really, believe it or not, this story, I think, has so many, we call, legs in the industry. It has so many legs to it. There are so many layers to it. And I think, you know, we've always, as I always say, we've always tackled these tough stories here on the Hair Radio Morning Show and across my network and platform. And so before we sign off today, I want to take a moment and just to kind of let everybody know what you both are working on these days and how folks can check out what you've got going on. So Statewide Chip, can you tell everybody, you know, what you're working on and of course, how they can find out more about your music or what you've got going on?
Yes, well, I actually have another mixtape that I'm actually getting finished up now. That'll be probably released early summer, late spring. It's called Aura, Only Real Loud, O-R-A. So that's my next tape, Statewide Bosses. We also have a collaborative tape that'll be coming out around summertime as well. So yeah, I'm busy. I have my Boss Strip clothing line that'll also be the new spring collection. Summer collection will be coming. I didn't really do too much winter and spring, so I'm just waiting until summer comes back with a new collection for summertime. So that's what I have going on.
That's pretty good in my book. And we're going to remind everybody, if they're trying to reach you, they can do so through Hair Radio as well. I will be more than happy to connect them to you. And I just want to say, Statewide, we're also going to be celebrating our 700th episode soon. We'll be talking all about that and so much more.
Okay.
So, Cheryl Morrow, I've got, and thank you so much, Statewide, for being on. Just hang on the line with us a little bit. Cheryl, I have to say, I've got to turn to you. What are you working on? Now, Cheryl, you're usually going in on Hair and the newspaper. And you've got some other stuff. I've kind of caught a little bit of, you know, some postings here and there. But what can you tell the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show that you've got going on these days?
Boy, I'm completely at the helm of the New California Curl. So the New California Curl is C. Morrow Inheritance. And so the C. Morrow Inheritance is a new, fresh approach. And it's devoted to rebuilding the industrial complex as I grew up, knowing, not only black owned, but black controlled, black interest, black oriented, black narratives, and all those things that is really at the pillars of, you know, science and chemistry and production and innovation and distribution and retail and salon professionals and barbering and fashion and, you know what I mean, and prototyping and inventions and education and, you know, in STEM and engineering. And so trying to put those particular pieces back together, of course, I get tired. And so I'm putting my best foot forward into the C. Morrow Inheritance company. Also coming out with my documentary in terms of my conversation of how I grew up in terms of a saying, heirs by hustle. And so in that perspective on how passing generational wealth on and what the effects on your children and how that works. So that's coming out of people. And turning my 400 Years Without a Comb 2.0, it's going to be an NFT and virtual VR experiment. And so, and creating the first crypto exchange.
Okay.
You can buy these things, Bitcoin, and the shipping is a lot quicker in terms of a blockchain. But just solving industrial problems and probably revising history and turning it right side up so we can get some of our stories straight. And you know the challenges between the Annie Malone and Madam C.J. Walker thing.
Yeah.
And just approaching those challenges. And then trying to readjust the monopoly in cosmetology and Afro-cosmetology textbooks and taking that on. Coming out with just probably Heirloom is a Disney version, just dealing with cosmetology and black image and likeness and image and things of that nature. But as you can see, you know, it's a big task, but I'm up for it, Mr. Carey. I'm up
for it. I know you are. You sound like you, I don't know how you have time to sleep. That's what they say to me, so I'm passing that on to you, Cheryl.
Well, when I hang up the phone, I'm writing How to Crown Act, which is a whole presentation.
Yeah.
And even
wow.
Approaching, because I think Jada has alopecia totalis, which is a
you
little
think it's
more.
Totalis? I know totalis.
Oh, totalis.
Okay.
Well, most
well you know
most
what? I'm going to debate Cheryl Morrow offline. But you know what? But I'll tell you what. The one thing that I am so proud of that really, if anything good has come out of this horribly negative situation, is that the word alopecia is famous. No one knew alopecia, the word, you know, in the gym pub did not know the word alopecia. You know how many days I've had to say, explain what is alopecia? Do you know how many times I've said that on this radio show?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to do that so much anymore. So for that, I'm grateful. Okay. So I thank you guys. You are both awesome. And in your own way, you're each doing your thing. And I just appreciate you so much. So I want you to thank so much for being with us. Cheryl Morrow, what can I say? Look for all that you're doing out there. And stay with us, everybody.
No.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful, and moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage and, moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media, where business is just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Coming soon. Don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines and Nicole Marie with Michael Hopkins and Blue. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have to bring to the line my amazing co-star. I'm not sure if you can hear me. Nicole Marie, are you there?
I am here. I can hear you.
All right. Great.
Good morning.
Good morning, mid-show. Yes, welcome to the show. And
welcome to the mid-show.
Angela. Thank you so much for that
Thursday
announcement. Yeah, we're doing great. It is Thursday morning, August 4th, 2022. It's our show number 737. Show 737, which is one of my favorite aircrafts. Let's know the story. Lots to get to, as always, this morning. We have so much going on, and I'm really excited to kind of get into some of the live chat today. So first of all, want to thank all of our listeners, and again, welcome everybody to this broadcast mid-show. You guys have been listening. We have too. And, today we reran this incredible piece that we have did with Cheryl Morrow. Cheryl is the daughter of legendary hair innovator and inventor, literally, Willie Morrow, and from out in San Diego area, out in California. And Willie and I was listening to this, and this, of course, was shot before the untimely death of Willie Morrow. And, you know, not all that long ago. And I listened back to it, and I think I even shouted out Dr. Willie Morrow in the interview with Shirley.
Yes.
And I don't know if you heard that, Nicole Marie, but I thought it was.
I did.
What did you think?
Yes, I was listening. I thought it was a great interview. It was very telling of what, you know, has transpired. I love Cheryl because she always throws some history in there. You always learn something when you're listening to her. That's what I just love about her. So I enjoyed the interview thoroughly, and I had my opinion about some things as well. I agreed with some things, and, you know, other things have transpired since the interview. So always good conversation.
We're talking about. Yeah, just to back it up a little bit for everybody, there has been so much going on. This was the whole saga. I call it a saga now.
It is a saga.
A saga is one of those stories that kind of keeps going and keeps going.
It is a saga.
It is a saga, exactly. And it's the saga of three individuals, largely. We're talking about Will Smith, Jada Pinkett Smith, and, of course, comedian extraordinaire Chris Rock.
Right.
And
it's a sad saga.
It's turned into a sad saga. I agree. The whole episode, literally. And so we go back, and you guys that are just joining us and you missed the first part of the show, we'll reshare it after it goes off at 9 o'clock, after we go off live this morning. You can go over to upscalemagazineradio.com, of course. And today's show will play over there a little later this morning and today as well. So definitely catch up with it over there. But amazing, amazing recanting, not recanting, but I always get that word mixed up, but a retelling of the story and the whole thing. So this was done a few days after the Oscars with a big slap.
Right.
Yeah, I loved everything about it. Again, it was all predicated on this whole topic about alopecia. So it brought a word that did not seem to exist in the general public vernacular. So for the most people out there, we're unaware of the word alopecia until this big slap.
Until this.
And so
and the education
I'm
about alopecia is good.
Yeah.
I'm sad that it had to come out this way, but definitely the education of alopecia is good and necessary because I didn't even know myself. I didn't know there were so many types of alopecia and so forth. So it was definitely an education for me, but I'm just sad it had to come out this way.
Well, there was another way it could have come out. And that is by tuning to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Exactly. Well, That's true.
And so, the alopecia, that's the whole purpose of the Hair Radio Alopecia Foundation, is so that we are talking about education on your hair. And being, you know, the person behind the foundation, the creator of my own Carapy hair products, which aim to address the issue of alopecia by stimulating the scalp. So we'll talk about Carapy, shampoo and conditioner, and all that stuff a lot in the coming weeks.
And thank you to you for that, Carrie.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
the foundation
that.
And, you know, your products. I know you've had your products, so. That's great.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Impact Therapy, you know, and the care of my own Carrie Hines hair care for a while. Therapy is, they came up with it from my name, Carrie, and then the word therapy. And that's kind of
the idea. It's a wonderful combination of the things that we've been espousing here on the Hair Radio Morning Show for decades, literally. So I'm super, involved in that aspect. And, this is what we do here at the broadcast. So we've got a lot to get into this morning. I'm super hyped. We'll be talking a little bit more about Carapy. Remember, our shampoo and conditioners for men and women, the whole family. Let me just put that on out there. The beard oil, of course, you ladies can buy it for your fellas. I love what I say about the beard oil because it's great for, the neck and all the whole nine. So it's really, really good. And there'll be lots more to talk about. But, yeah, so we're going to be getting into more about this whole Will Smith, update because my thinking is now, and I don't know if this is true or not, Nicole Marie. I don't know if you heard about this, but they're saying that, okay, here's the deal. We all know what happened back at the Oscars. Then scan all the way till now, months and months later, then Will Smith puts out a video statement. Essentially, kind of apologizing what appeared to me directly to Chris Rock. That's the way it seemed to me, is that he was
kind of
apologizing.
That's the way it seemed to me also, but way too late.
You think so?
I think so.
Well,
that's
you,
my
did
opinion.
Did you buy the, did you accept the apology is my question to you, Nicole Marie.
I did not. The video that I saw.
Okay, so, you did not.
No. To me, it was not sincere. I felt that when he was apologizing to Chris Rock, just watching his body language, his eyes, it looked like he was reading off of a script or a prompter. So to me, that's not sincere. If you're not talking from the heart, you're not sincere, and you don't really mean what you're saying.
Okay.
So,
okay, I accept what you say. But just to play devil's advocate, what happens sometimes, though, just because you read from a teleprompter doesn't mean it's not from the heart, because what happens is you write the information from your heart, and you put it in a teleprompter so that you don't miss anything when you are. Now, if you're not a good reader, then that may be the problem.
Now
have
Carrie,
you seen Donald Trump
do
trying to read off a teleprompter? That kind of thing.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's a
so
totally
that's
different subject.
You may not be a good reader. Doesn't mean it's what you're trying to say is not genuinely how you feel.
But I hear your point. But the reason I say that is in the rest of the interview clip that I saw, which was rather lengthy, I can't remember the exact timing of it.
5 to 8 minutes, I think.
He was talking about other things where he seemed really natural and just like he was talking normally, like himself. But when it came to the apology, he seemed really kind of
I hear you. And I'll tell you another explanation. Okay, no, you're entitled to your opinion, and I'm not saying that that's wrong whatsoever. What I'm just saying to you, in my opinion, is that because the a teleprompter, you may have certain aspects of things that you read, not when it comes to something like this, where the legalities might kick in that you have to read it a certain way so that you don't get into further hot water with everybody or say something that might not work for a potential lawsuit. So you, if you read from the teleprompter, you will say it the way that it has been approved by your lawyers. Now, I'm not saying this. I wasn't in the room. Don't work for the Will Smith people. Don't know his lawyers.
I agree.
Don't know what's going on in his mind. This is just us talking on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
and I see your point. I see, that's the other side of it. But Will Smith has been an actor for years and years and years. Now, this is a special situation. However, I know this is not the first time that he's read off of a teleprompter. And just looking at the video clip, and the different parts and how he was talking and different things he was talking about, to me, there just seems like there was a discrepancy with what he was saying and his body language and how he was talking. Mm-hmm. Some parts he seemed natural. Some parts he seemed like it was really, really scripted, and he just, was
all
reading
right.
it and couldn't get it out.
I don't know.
So that's
just my
take from it. That's
yeah,
my opinion.
I got you. And you shared that, and I understand. And, so I'm curious to know what folks out there think about this whole thing.
Yeah.
So
I
also going to switch gears up. Yeah, you didn't buy it. Okay, let me just say that for me, what I saw, and I saw a little bit of an edited clip later, for me, I bought his apology. And it might have been in part scripted and this and that and all of that. I bought it. I'm not Chris Rock, though. You don't have to impress me. But as far as Chris is concerned, and so there's a whole lot of talk that maybe Chris is ready to meet with him. I don't know. Hey, it's 7:36.
We don't know necessarily the background history between Will Smith and Chris Rock. We know what's kind of been said here and there in the media. So there could be a whole lot of back talk and, all things from years past. But still, that doesn't make it right.
I think he addressed that in the video that I saw. But I'll tell you what, we're going to continue the conversation. This is going to go on. This story is not ending anytime soon. It's Thursday, August 4th, 2022. It's about 7:36 if you're in the East Coast time zone. If you're out in the Atlantic time zone, it's about 6:36 in the morning. And if you're out in Central, which is where Nicole Marie, our great co-host, is, it's about 6:37 in the morning. Now, hold on. Let me make sure I say that correctly. It's 6:37 in Central. It's 8:37 in Atlantic time zone. Got to make it real clear. They're an hour ahead of me, so that's how that works out. So I think I said it incorrectly to start. So let me get Blue. We have not been talking candle talk this morning, and I'm dying to know what the scent of the day is. I went out to walk my little doggy Peppy this morning, and there was all kinds of trucks moving about, and I said, I can't wait to get on some candle talk this morning. So out of Florida from the wonderful Jacksonville area, it's my great honor to bring back to the show. You guys know her every day. She's the candle queen, I call her. We're talking to Blue. Good morning, Blue. You're on with Nicole Marie.
Good morning,
Gary
Blue.
Yes.
Good morning, radio family. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I love that. Radio Family mid-show. Well, folks have been listening. Early this morning, we ran an entire piece, Candle Queen. Blue. We ran an entire piece talking about the saga of Will. As you heard just here this morning, Nicole Marie is defending her stance that she doesn't take Will's apology. He made a video apology on camera the other day or whatever and shared it out through social media. All this is kind of still bubbling up at the surface. So what can we say? First of all, because we've not gotten you on record, are you even aware about this whole situation with the big slap from Will Smith and Jada? They have a triangle going on, if you will, with this. Blue, have you heard about any of it?
Yes, of course. We all have been bombarded with that.
Yes.
And me, myself, and I just cannot waste my precious energy on stuff like that. Only because, like everyone's been saying, there's a whole backstory to the situation. You know, we just don't get up and slap folks. We just don't do that, you know. So it's deeper than... Exactly. And, when I first heard about it, my response was I just shook my head and kept it moving. because it just didn't make no sense to me. You know what I'm saying? I just kept it moving.
I don't spend
a lot of time. I'm not wasting my time on that.
I accept that, but let me tell you how I feel about that Candle Queen. I think that that is a good impression for folks who saw and you know, people. Everybody has an opinion on this, which I love it. And, yes, you pretty much had to have been under a Chris Rock, if you get my little pun there, if you, you know, are unaware of it. But
I'll tell you
the way I see it. Thank you. You know, I'm going to keep my day job and not tell any more jokes. But I'll tell you something. Where it comes to this, I believe that there is still an underlying important story. And for me, that is on the education of proper hair care. And there are women and men suffering from alopecia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this was the right place to have this spark that conversation, because that conversation needs to be had. But sometimes things are not pretty when they do bubble up to the surface. And not just that, there are folks, I was all in, some folks have grown a little tired of the convo, and the whole thing, and it's still, but my point is that it's still going on, and we were trying to address that. This is an ongoing saga,
When it calms down, Yahoo apologizes.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. Well, see, that or longer, right? It took him a while, but he finally apologized.
Yeah,
but guess what
longer.
The kicker is?
That was in March. You're right, March.
Yeah, the kicker is that he is now saying, well, we're hearing that Chris Rock is ready to meet with Will Smith. Now, I don't know if this is true. So my question of today is for you guys, do you think that Chris Rock should meet with Will Smith? That's my question to you today. That's what I really would like to know. So that you don't have to be a big fan of any of Slapgate, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are. Nicole Marie, would you meet with Will Smith if you were Chris Rock?
I don't know if I would. I think it would depend on, like, the back history between the two of them, and only the two of them actually know.
Correct.
My question would be, okay, if I'm Chris, just not knowing the back history between the two of them, would be, okay, I'm going to sit down with him, and what is he going to say? He gave me a public apology, but now we're sitting here one-on-one. What is he actually going to say?
Right.
Okay. Blue, what about you?
Kinda,
any comments?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
Should he meet with him if he feels like he has some, if he needs some closure in different areas, it's up to him. If he feels like it's going to be beneficial for him, he should do what, you know, he's comfortable with doing.
Wow.
You know, if he finds it that he needs to do for closure or for questions, then he may. But if he doesn't feel like he's going to get anything from the whole meet and greet again, then just leave it.
Exactly.
Yeah, just leave it. I wouldn't even waste my time if I was Chris, but, you know, I'm not Chris or Will. So I feel like he said everything he needs to say publicly. What do we need to see say behind closed doors? Right.
Exactly.
What do we need to say
behind
closed
doors?
And
after all these months, try and sit down with me before now. You've already given a public apology, so everybody knows what you said. So now you want to actually meet with me and say what?
Right. No, we don't need to hug and kiss and all that. No, we good. We're good.
Oh, and here's what I say. Where it comes to something like that, if I were Chris, would I meet with Will? I would. First of all, this is a media firestorm. And this is a lot of free publicity and kind of catapults you into the stratosphere of, you know, promotions and whatever it is you're trying to sell. You'll make a ton of money if you're looking to capitalize on it financially. So I would.
Mm-hmm.
It would get a lot of ratings, and they could both sit with Oprah. Now, for me, yes, I would meet with Will, but, of course, I'd have a few this time around. You won't have the luxury of just slapping me.
Okay.
Okay, so you need to know that you're going to get slapped back. And I might just slap you for the heck of it. I might just slap it for the
heck
of it.
Exactly.
Now we can talk.
Yes,
and I mean,
yes,
I will slap you with both fists, both hands. No, I don't condone violence. I'm just kidding, folks. But what I do suggest is that if I really would meet with him, to me, I would like a check to be written out, kind of probably like the one that you allegedly wrote out to the original Aunt Viv, Janet Hubert. You know, I remember that woman she had said a whole lot of stuff about Willow for me. Woo, she had no nice words to say.
Yes.
I mean, she really went in. You think Chris Rock had some things to say. Aunt Viv, the original Aunt Viv, she lit up his ears, literally.
Yes, she did.
Then, I don't know, but if you guys saw then, after they did this whole reboot thing or got together and reunion type show or whatever, she now sings the praises of Will Smith like he was Noah from the Ark. I have never seen
her. They made up.
I'm sure that made up had a few zeros behind it. You know, I don't know. This stuff is just too crazy. Listen, Blue, we always get a moment with you. You guys know Divine Energy Candles. Blue is here with us. I call her the Candle Queen. We've got Nicole Marie, myself. We're going to have Michael on in a moment. But, Blue, can you first just give us a quick scent of the day? We got to talk about the scent of the day. I'm still bow ties and bourbon, but that was the other day. But you've given us a couple of those.
I can't wait till you receive that. But today's scent of the day is dragon's blood. This mysterious alone.
Well, that's Will Smith theme. Dragon's blood.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
This mysterious alluring blend is this
fitting.
Right.
Wow.
It has one base of amber and Madagascar vanilla and patchouli.
Mmm.
Yeah.
Now, Blue, you got to kind of sometimes tell us a little bit. You described the scent, but tell us again about some of these ingredients, because we don't really know. I love what you say. It just sounds beautiful to me. But, yeah, we're going to have you to break it down for other folks like myself who don't have a clue. We're like, oh, yeah, we love that sound. We love that name. But so dragon blood is the scent of today of the day. Here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. So you guys remember Divine Energy Candles. Every day we got candle talk here on the broadcast. We're always, you know, to me, you're part of our, we always talk about morning regimens here, Blue. And your talk with Divine Energy Candles is a part of that daily process here when we're getting up. For me, that's what it is. It's a routine. So we're always proud of everything that you're doing and bringing. And we're happy that you weigh in on our question of the day. Real nice stuff. Okay, so don't forget next week. You know what we're doing next week, Miss Candle Queen? Have you forgotten? See, Blue forgot already.
No, I haven't.
Nicole Marie, Blue forgot. We are going to name
next week the spin of the month.
Okay, all right. Well, it's the candle of the month. Yes. The big reveal, so that's coming up next week. So right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, we're going to be checking in with Blue. There's also a lot more to come with the entire Divine Energy Candles. We're moving over as well to the online community. Lou will have a big space there. We're going to have a whole lot of wonderful interactive things that you'll be able to see, watch, hear, you know, read, all of that. So you can follow Blue. Blue, you're at our online community, so go to HRMember without the S.com. If you're not a member, sign up there. It's free. So lots of that. Hey, I got to get Michael Hopkins into the fray. I know I see him there. He's out of beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia. He's one of the stars of the Hair Radio Morning Show. He is the star of his own Vet Talk radio show on Tuesdays at 8:30 in the morning. Hopkins, Michael Hopkins, good morning, mid-show. Hello, how are you?
Happy mid-show, everybody.
Good morning.
Yes. Michael Hopkins, you're on with Blue. You're on with my amazing Nicole Marie, and you're on with Kerry Hines. So official mid-show, back to you. So now, you've been listening to everything this morning. What do you want to weigh in with, Hopkins? And then I'm going to ask you that question of the day. But what would you like to weigh in?
Oh, well, definitely Blue's candle choice. I like that one. So I see I'm going to have to get my sword out and you know, the uniform and all that.
Dragon blood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love it.
Yes.
She always
does
comes
not bring,
up with
every
something.
Day she brings, you bring it, Blue. You bring it.
Yes.
Divine
we
energy
love it.
Handles.
I'm just loving
rock.
It.
Good job. Yeah.
Now, as far as my weigh-in, Terry?
Yeah, well, I think, yeah, you've been listening on the whole talk. I don't
right.
know if you've seen or heard that Will has come in with a new video. Chris is said to want to meet with him. Would you, the question of the day, would you meet up with Will Smith? Or might you be afraid? No, I'm just kidding on that part. What would you do, Hopper Hopkins?
What would I do?
And have you been following the saga like Blue? She's like, I'm sick of it, pretty much. So, but what about
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I'm kind of in Blue's corner on this one. But
oh,
now, what would I do? Would I meet
yeah.
Will Smith? I'm kind of leaning toward the no. That's where I'm leaning.
Oh, no.
And I hate to be that way. And, you know, Kerry, I understand what you're saying. You know, media-wise and all of that, yeah, you know, it makes sense. But me being me, and this is just me being me, see, I'm kind of done with you. Once you do one thing, something wrong with me, I'm kind of just done with you. And
really?
I'm like Blue. I'm just moving on.
You don't have that ability to forgive and forget, huh?
No, this ain't Kumbaya. We ain't going to sing around the campfire.
Wow.
No.
I know. Wow.
Yeah, and I mean,
I've got the
capability of doing that, but, you know, in a lot of cases, I'm just done with you. Once you've done something like that to me, I'm just done with you. You know, you go to you.
That's kind of the way it seems with Chris Rock. I mean, I can't put words in his mouth. But he seemed to be really upset. I mean, that's a long time to kind of hold your silence and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's the
he
impression
like
that I'm getting as far as that.
Yeah.
For Chris Rock, that's the impression that I'm getting. And to be honest with you, Kerry,
yes.
The more I kind of, you know, I look at the Slapgate thing and I watch the video of Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. And Chris Rock had a lot of restraint because if this had been other circumstances, I'm quite sure reality is this. Both of them would have been wrestling on that floor for a minute. We would have thought we were looking at
exactly.
the WWF or something like that. And because that's the first thought that came to my mind. Oh, you're going to
yeah.
slap me and you just think it's okay. Guess what? It's not okay. And I don't care where we are, Oscars or whatever this is. No, they're getting ready to get another show that they didn't expect. But he had restraint.
In front of the whole world, Michael,
good.
You want to be falling out on the floor, you know, in front of the whole world like that? In other words, you want to go out like that?
To me, Carrie, I mean, this is just my humble opinion.
So white? Yeah, I mean, remember, I don't know.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but
you're
this
just
is
saying
just,
you,
I guess,
you might not have been able to hold back from slapping them back.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it just to me, that's just like being disrespectful to somebody. That's me, my humble opinion. But to me, you do this in front of television, in front of, you know, the Oscar people and all that. And then also to me, Carrie, and everybody, it brings back things in our past as a people. And I think Cheryl Morrow was touching on this, too, you know, kind of the stereotypical things that people think about us as a people, and it that ugliness, it brings it back.
Well, now Cheryl Morrow is what was on. We ran Cheryl's piece, in case you guys missed me saying this earlier. Cheryl Morrow, a little after, like in the very first hour of the show this morning, we replayed this incredible piece with Cheryl before her dad died. And so, and even in the piece, I give Willie Morrow, now the late Willie Morrow, a shout out on the show. It was just heart touching. But Cheryl and Statewide Chip, shouting out Statewide Chip from Philly, he and Cheryl went at it about this whole Slapgate. And they gave a lot of context to it. So if you've missed it, replay it. You got to hear it. You don't want to miss that. But Michael, okay, so you would not forgive him? Okay. I'm like, wow. So is there, I think I'm by myself this morning on that. No, hold it. I think I am. I think the three of you kind of agreed.
Forgive from a distance, but you don't forget.
Wow.
Yeah, we just ain't singing Kumbaya together around the campfire no more.
No.
Wow.
You ain't welcome to my house. No, sir.
Wow. Well, you know what? There may not be some truth. I don't know if there's truth to this or not. We don't really know. Let me just say we don't know.
Right.
I have not heard from Chris Rock on this. Now, Chris's ex, I think she's his ex-wife, Malika. She used to be in the hair business out here in Brooklyn, and she still may be. So I'm going to have to see if I can catch up with her and see if we can get her to weigh in on all this. You know, lots of things going on. Listen, if you're just joining us, you are listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines with an incredible team. We've got, of course, Nicole Marie out of Water Valley, Mississippi, WVMS, Water Valley, Mississippi. Michael Hopkins out of beautiful Pennsylvania, Virginia, which is, you're kind of in the northern part of VA, I believe, Michael. You're not quite as south.
Yeah.
Like
Not quite south.
You know, Richmond.
We do have water from the county.
You got what? Okay. I was telling Michael he had to go out to the well, like, you know. I'm going to get letters on this. We'll get emails on this, tweets. Also, we've got Candle Queen herself, Blue, from down in Jacksonville, Florida. So I'm in Brooklyn, New York. I'm Carrie Hines. And so we've got all over the place. We've got several states represented right here on the broadcast
this morning.
It's about 7:58, a little before 8 o'clock in the morning. Tomorrow we have a very special guest joining us in the 8 o'clock spotlight. You don't want to miss it. It's her first time joining us, and we're real happy about that. She runs a mobile hair salon and also has a product line as well. Plus, we're welcoming next week we have new folks joining us who have their own product lines and have all kinds of hair talk to dig in with, literally. Plus, I'll be talking a whole bunch about what's going on and what we can do to help you business-wise. So for the entrepreneurs, this is the place to be each morning. For the folks who are interested in hair and beauty talk, this is number one, the longest-running, like Angela says, the longest-running hair and beauty radio show in the history of broadcasting. So real happy about that. Let's take a little bit of a commercial break. Just want to say thank good talk this morning, guys, on the Will Smith saga. Now, if you would like to let us know what you're thinking, you can do so. You can tweet us at HAI Radio. Or just go on the online community. You should be a member already. It's free at HRmember.com. Again, that's without the S, HRmember.com. And go on, register, sign up, you know, follow us, share your profile, all that great stuff, and talk to us about what you're thinking. We're going to put some conversations there. Or simply go to our website at HAIRadio.com. So HairRadio.com with just one R. Go to HairRadio.com and then click on the forum tab. That'll take you to all today's stories and so much more that we're updating out there. So please, you want to do that. All right, time for our little commercial break. We want you to stay right there. We've got a lot more to get to this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful, and moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage and, moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media where business is just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Joker.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very special guest joining us today. Actually, I've known her for quite a while, and I think this is the very, very first time joining us on the broadcast. It is my great honor and sincere pleasure to welcome to the show Miss Asia Good. Good morning, Asia.
Good morning.
Yes, it is so nice to have you finally on our broadcast.
Yes.
And it is just wonderful because let me just make it clear to everybody. The Hair Radio Morning Show is about hair, beauty, and community. It really is. And so you fit right into those categories this morning. And being a young person out there in business, I'm so excited to really talk about it because I don't think we've covered the subject of realty so much, but I think it's so incredibly important right now, especially with folks looking and with the way that things are going on out here in the world. People are looking for how to get a properties and rent spaces and all that wonderful good stuff. So I can't wait to hear everything you have to say today. So very nice.
Yes, yes, exactly. So it's funny. I got into real estate during the pandemic. I was twiddling my thumbs. I was finishing up college because I did go to school for public health. And I said,
yeah,
I need to do something if this doesn't work out. And, you know, it is my dream to own a house myself. So I was like, let me be an educated consumer and go to school for real estate. So that's how I ended up in, in real estate.
Wow.
For myself and also to educate the masses because, you know, when you do have that certain knowledge, it does make a difference and it does impact how you are purchasing or renting out a property.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. Finish your thought, please.
No, I'm just going to say that's why I became, most importantly, an NJ realtor because there's a difference between a real estate agent and a realtor. So I belong to an association.
Wow. That's incredible. And so it sounds to me like you really enjoy it. And that's a surprise,
yes.
Huh?
Yes. It's fun being able to help someone gain information. Not even if they do, like, if they don't want to purchase right now, at least they know what to look for and what is coming up so they wouldn't be ambushed with the sudden spontaneous transaction of buying a house because, you know, there is a process to everything.
And that's a big decision. But it is good that people consider buying versus renting. Is that right?
Yes, because, you know, the way the market is now, there's not much inventory, so sellers are trying to sell either for their best interest or just for monetary gain, and you have to be cautious of what you are spending your money on. And sometimes high rent, believe it or not, is equivalent to someone's house. And if you're paying $2,000-plus in rent in New Jersey, you're probably paying someone's mortgage on a $300,000 house.
Wow.
So
that is
crazy.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, that folks are spending so much. And that brings up a good point. Now, you're located in New Jersey, and we have listeners from everywhere. But what are some of the tips that anybody can think of that they should consider when looking for property of rental and or purchasing? Any ideas that come to mind?
Yes, definitely. So, you know, if taxes is a big deal, you have to be mindful of what area you are moving into New Jersey because every town and city has their own taxes. So if taxes is something that you are worried about, you have to be mindful of that. And then also, you know, due to the sudden shift in climate, you want to be aware of what's a flood zone. I know that the FEMA released that they are changing their flood insurance rates, and it differs from those who are grandfathered from their previous insurance policies. So those are things to consider.
Well, now, this sounds like a lot for the average person to keep track of. Is it as complicated as it sounds, or is it that that's what your job is, to break it down for us?
Well, honestly, if anyone were to hire a realtor or a real estate agent, it's just to make the transaction smooth for the consumer, for the buyer and the seller, because, you know, we're the person that's going to make all the necessary moves for it not to be a nightmare. I know at the brokerage I'm at, it's our responsibility to do our 100% best always. And if that goes along the lines as sitting in for inspections or getting appraisals done for you, we will do that. That's no problem. I'm trained for that. So those things that might fluster a consumer, look into hiring a real estate agent, because they really know what's going on in the market, who to talk to, what direction to lead you in terms of even finding a real estate attorney, appraiser, home inspector, just obtaining your occupancy to live. So, you know, those are things that can be done by a real estate agent.
Wow. I have to say, goodness, you are really on top of it. You are just killing it. You are. I'm so very happy. Well, listen, I just also want to take a moment to say, you know, and I have to, in full disclosure, Asia is just someone I've known. Asia, I just have to let everybody know I've known you since you were just a little tiny little girl down in New Jersey. So it's just remarkable. My dearest friend in the whole wide world was Asia's dad, Theo, and God rest his soul, who would just be ridiculously proud of everything that you have accomplished. And you have an amazing family. And I was going to ask you, because balancing a family, that's not easy with business. How do you do it?
Honestly,
you have an entire
family. I don't know. Yeah, I mean,
wow.
You know, just to piggyback off of mentioning my father, I learned being a hustler from him. He made it seem like parenting and working multiple jobs was just normal. So I probably get it from him, but with the help of a planner, and then, you know, the Google Calendar, those are my best friends.
Well, I hear you, and I can certainly echo that. I tell you, I was just thinking about Theo because, you know, I talk often about being a flight attendant or being in the airlines, and I have to let folks know, I would have never, ever, ever, ever made that decision. I didn't even want to be a flight attendant, but your dad talked me into it, and that's how I became a flight attendant. He encouraged me to do so, and that's how I ended up, and which was a big thing, and staying with the airline. So, you know, great memories, and it's so nice to see all of that come to full fruition through his offspring. So, just great job. I'm very impressed with two wonderful little girls of your own at this point, and you're just doing some amazing things, and so a great husband, and you just got the whole family thing sewn up. So listen, back
you.
To this realty. I am just blown away. So folks, down in New Jersey, of course, Asia's out there doing her business thing, so we're going to encourage, of course, if you want to contact Asia. Now, are you on, like, social media and all that kind of stuff for folks?
Yes.
With your business?
Yes,
okay, well, tell folks how they can connect with you and all that good stuff.
Okay, the easy way to find me is through Instagram. If everyone is Instagram savvy, I am at Asia.NJ.Real Estate. That's on Instagram, and then my email is AsiaGood, AsiaGoode, at srnjtean.
com. And you can, of course, contact us at Hair Radio, and we'll put you in touch with Asia. And
yes.
So just again, real proud of you and all that you are accomplishing. We're going to remind folks from time to time who are looking for, you know, different spaces and things of that nature to check in, check you out. So, Asia, anybody you want to shout out to before we say goodbye this morning?
No, I just shout out to you for convincing me to come on. You know, I didn't expect an interview from this. And, you know, also the brokers that I work for, you know, Signature Realty, are located in Summit, New Jersey. So.
Yeah. And to your incredible family for supporting you, of course.
Yes.
That
yes,
goes without saying. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, thank you, Asia, for being my guest today on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You did an awesome job.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You got it. All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go this morning. Stay with us.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
We appreciate all of our amazing fans at the Hair Radio Show, and we know that you have many choices of how you spend your time each morning. So we thank you for listening. Because your hair speaks volumes.
Wow. Okay, we're back live. It's Thursday morning. It's August 4th of 2022. It's our show number 737. Of course, I'm joined with Michael Hopkins, one of our amazing co-hosts, co-stars right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show out of beautiful Spotsylvania, Virginia. You guys know him from the Bed Talk Radio Show. Michael Hopkins, we have been playing some of some incredible music this morning, and we came up with this whole thing, and I don't know if you've caught on to some of these incredible songs that are a little different than what I've always played on the show. And what we came up with is this whole idea, which are fan favorites, and that is to have we feature a playlist from our incredible fan base out there, from the listeners. And so I know today we've been kind of featuring some of the songs that one of my dear colleagues in the industry out there, you guys know her from Upscale Magazine, Miss Millie, who is a dear, dear, sweet, wonderful contributor to everything that's Upscale and everything that we're doing, like Upscale Magazine Radio and all of that. But what she doesn't know is that this morning we have played Millie's playlist. Millie's playlist can, you know, we kind of kicked off with some songs by Michael Jackson, Come Together, which I play a lot of Michael Jackson, but I never, ever, I had forgotten about that Come Together song, which I absolutely love this morning. I think it's a remake, right, Michael? Have you? You
were
familiar
with
that song? Oh,
yeah, the Beatles. Remake of the Beatles.
Okay.
Yep, was the Beatles
Michael
Come Together.
And Michael Hopkins. Okay, you're on top of it. And I love this. We also came in with another song that she had on her playlist, Millie's playlist this morning, Hold On by the amazing En Vogue. And they were huge back in the day. Yes, they were.
I even rocked to them.
They were huge. And that's a lot of rocking, okay?
Oh yes, love those girls. We're gonna
close out with a trifecta. I call it of great music in the morning with Feel the Fire coming up in just a bit, right here with Teddy and Stephanie Mills. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But I love this whole idea on and we've got to. I'm gonna see if I can get her to weigh in a little bit on this playlist this morning and the idea. Millie, Miss Millie, are you listening out there? If you are, please press 1. We will get surprise visitor this morning to the to the mic. We're live on this Thursday, August 4th. It is about 8:22 in the morning, East Coast time. Miss Millie from Upscale Magazine, you guys know her, she's the COO. Miss Millie, good morning and welcome back to the Hair Radio. This is your first time being on live with us on the show.
Good
morning. You're on with Michael Hopkins and myself, Carrie Hine.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, Miss Millie.
Hello, yes. Carrie, my brother. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. It's so nice to have you live on the show. We talk every day, but we're live today. Yes. Well, we're live every day, but you guys don't hear it. Miss Millie, first of all, okay, this is your first time being back in a while, so first of all, what do you have to say about the surprise Miss Millie playlist that we kicked off today?
Thank you.
And this
so much.
Inspired us to come up with a great idea for everybody.
Yes. I love it. I love it. I sent Carrie a list of my favorite songs. And,
yes, you did.
I listen to the radio usually in the evening. So,
yeah.
Because my days are so, oh, my God, jam-packed. We have the Warner Brothers show coming up in 3 weeks.
Yes.
Okay. The
and that's out of Miami, Florida. Let's be clear. Yeah, that's out of Miami. Yeah. So, WarnerBrothers.com. Yeah.
But we're in L.A. We're in L.A. in March next year.
Oh, okay.
Are you coming, Carrie?
Of course. I'll be there. You're going to have a hard time keeping me away. Yeah, I'll be there with all of our fans. We'll be standing at the door. Let us in. Let us in. Yes. Let us in.
So,
but you know what, Miss Millie? What I love about the music and the music idea, and for the we put a lot of music on the Hair Radio Morning Show anyway. But I don't think I have ever, and we might have fans and you guys out there, you suggest songs and we'll put on songs. That happens. But I don't think we've ever had an individual created a playlist for the day, and I love it. And the fans have been responsive. So this is brilliant. A stroke of genius, Miss Millie. Good things. Awesome.
I listen to the radio at night. It lets me wind down, and it's just people have their own favorite songs. I just chose some of mine. So
I love it.
And I appreciate the fact that you responded and said, not a problem. We'll work it out.
Well, not only no problem, it's beautiful that you are, because I have to say, folks give us music that, is different. We might not have, or songs that we do know and we've forgotten about, stuff like that. Like, I had forgotten that Michael Jackson did that song. Now, we play a lot of Michael Jackson, but you would have never heard that song had it not been for Millie's playlist. So I'm loving it this morning. No, that's really the truth. So thank you for that. And I'm just in here jamming to the song. If we had a camera, you could see me now. I'd be jamming to it. It was awesome.
I missed that one. I would have loved to have seen that.
we'll talk about that maybe at the show at Warner Brothers. We'll see. But I also want to remind folks that when we wrap up the live show at 9 o'clock this morning, for you guys out in the Central Time Zone, that's 8 o'clock. We always remind you to go over to upscalemagazineradio.com. There's a lot of that's playing over there. We have tons of great interviews. We've got some classic stuff. We've got recent shows. We've got new music. We've got today's broadcast that'll play as well later on over there. Miss Millie, I want to talk a little bit while we have you. And, Michael, you're there. You always listen to Miss Millie's interview that she did with us a while back. I know you're a fan, so I remember that. So, but Miss Millie,
well, thank you.
Yeah, am I correct? What can you tell us for the upcoming issue, the issue that's out there for Upscale Magazine? What can you tell us? What would you like to say? Because you got some beautiful covers going on.
We had an exclusive interview with Mooney Lone, and we're actually trying to get her to come to the Miami show because she's originally from Florida, and to actually do a cover release. And we have, you know, we're starting our Caribbean Fest here in Atlanta. We're starting making preparations for that. So we did an article on the island.
Wow.
So that was an awesome article on the island, the different island carnivals. Now,
that's what
some
I was,
of those,
oh, yeah, 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 like that, yeah. That idea,
so,
wow.
So the thing is coming out of COVID, and I'm praying we're coming out, to be honest, and we've seen the last of this horrible situation.
Yeah,
and,
I'm like, you're very optimistic, and I'm going to try to be as well.
I'm trying to be because it canceled a lot of these events, and I didn't want people to forget about, so I had the editorials do an article on the top five, and that's only five. There are carnivals on all the islands. It's part of their heritage and get together, and you talking about a party. Now, that's a party.
Yeah.
A carnival
and
is
I've
a party.
And I've got to honestly say, I had a quick moment to do a little preview, and I saw some of the incredibly beautiful digital images and the images of in the print magazine. I've seen it all. And let me tell you something. I think the pictures of the islands and all of that, I think that's my favorite. I love everything.
Probably we like to do stuff like that, Kerry.
Yeah.
That's probably why it was your favorite. Probably because we like to do stuff like that. We like to... We enjoy the travel. I heard you earlier talking about your career in travel.
Yes, in the travel
industry. So,
In fact, one of my favorite flights was down to the islands. I used to work a flight to St. Martin and St. Croix, and we'd serve the mimosas and, you know, orange juice and, well, whatever else they put in. I'm not going to say it's morning radio. But, we do the mimosas going down to the islands, and we'd work those flights. And, it was hot when you got off that airplane. Hot. Okay, in the summer.
Oh,
it was super hot. I remember it so well.
That's
real
what
good
I'm not
stuff.
Looking
real
forward to, going to Miami.
The heat.
I told Bernard, I said, everybody better have their air conditioning on. High speed because we don't like it. What I love about
Miami, you guys are, you know, where you're doing the Bronner Brothers show. And first of all, I love South Beach. For me, going to the water, I walk there past the Versace house. I go to all the places, the watering holes. Sit down and just, I just have a great time. I meet with everybody there. I stay on Collins usually. Listen, this is what it's all about. And there is nothing like the iconic brands of Bronner Brothers of Upscale Magazine. And you guys are, you know, it's like, it's up in the 30s now in terms of the years for Upscale Magazine. And you're doing so
August
much, Kelly. We just support you.
August 1st, we turn 34.
Woof. Okay, so you're
and
almost.
I'm only
5 or 6 years older than the magazine. How's that?
Correct.
How's that even possible? I don't know, but
I think our editor, he put the cover of our first issue. Which was, and some of your listeners may not even know who this person is, Arsenio Hall cover.
Oh, well, you know I'm raising my hand. Yes. Well, guess you guys know I used to take, you talk about my career in the airlines, I used to take the airlines, I used to do what are called familiarization tours. So I fly 100 of the airline employees out to the Arsenio Hall show. So I've been there several times at Paramount Studios. I used to sit in the
really?
Dog pound.
Did you?
Yeah, I presented Arsenio with a jacket from the airline. And I spoke with Joan Rivers. She was on a show, and I would talk to I took employees out to the Arsenio show several times. They would line us up outside of Paramount at the gate on Gower, and we'd go in and make it all work. You can. I was on several of his shows. I was in the dog pound with the late Sherman Hemsley from the Jeffersons. He was sitting right next to me. I was there the day. Now, this is really going back, so don't try to calculate my age because you'd be wrong. But I'm going to tell it, Miss Millie. The day, I'll tell you one of my the biggest, most deepest memories I have is because I'm a huge fan of I Love Lucy. Everybody knows I love Lucy, literally, Lucille Ball. And so I'm sitting in the dog pound at his show with my, 100 employees at, you guys know I used to work for Continental Airlines at Newark Airport. And so before I became a flight attendant, went in the air, I would work on ground. And so anyway, I'm sitting in the audience. And they flashed during the commercial, they flashed on camera, on the screen, it said Lucille Ball had died, and they showed the years and all that. And they went back to doing the show, but it flashed on the monitors inside the studio at Paramount. And so right after the show, they usher you on out and all of that. I went back to Hollywood Boulevard, and there on her on Hollywood Boulevard, they have the Walk of Fame where they have all the famous stars on the ground. And her star, I remember, is right outside of Fredericks of Hollywood on Hollywood Boulevard. This is where her star is located. And you would see all the flowers and things that the public had brought. I saw this with my own eyes. I was standing there. And so this is one of the memories that seared in my mind about Arsenio and how great this man was and way ahead of his time and what he was doing. And I'm just proud to have had an opportunity to see him, to speak with him personally, to introduce us all to, I used to love going out to Hollywood. I would stay across from the Man's Chinese Theater at the big hotel there, the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, where they would screen shows and all that stuff. So I have a lot to tell you about Miss Millie on my travels. You want to hear some of those old stories? I don't think so. I don't know.
Okay, we all have.
Yeah, I get carried away.
We all have backstories we could get really carried away with. But
yeah,
he's featured in the issue, and then
And I love the picture that you guys used of him, by the way. That was a great picture.
That was the actual cover. That was the actual cover.
Wow.
And then we have, I'd like to just comment on the advertisers that came in. We've had a lot of smaller companies came in, not the big corporate giants. They're supposed to support us. And don't get me wrong,
well,
I'm not saying that.
Can you shout out any of these folks? Let's give them some shine this morning.
We have Miss Siobhan out of,
yes.
I believe it's Jersey.
Yeah, that's right. She's out of West Orange, New Jersey
Rock.
With Roots Rock Salon. Yes, Roots Rock.
Yes, her
ad
is absolutely gorgeous. And then we had a lady, Dr. Applewhite. She wrote a book.
Oh, yes.
And it's
called
My
Sister,
My Enemy. And just the ads, it just took you from corporate to real people. It just took you from corporate to real people. But everybody wanted to be part of this anniversary issue. So just the corporate ads, yeah. But when you look through the book, You'll see a lot of, and even though their ads are done professionally, you'll see a lot of interesting ads, and you'll say, this is a regional ad, or this is, a local ad, but all of these smaller companies are doing big things. They're creating their own lines. They're making themselves into a brand.
Exactly. And nowadays, Ms. Millie, that whole concept, regionalism, I call it, it's kind of been blown, you know, to bits, because now with the internet, you know, there are no borders anymore. Like you just said, they have products, they've got this, they've got that. We fly in, like even for the doctor, and he's an amazing ENT fella. We fly in to get certain services. We purchase products that, you know, that's why every morning on the show, I greet everybody from New York to L.A. and down to Australia and over to Africa. I literally greet everybody, and we have a special shout-out to the wonderful Upfield Magazine Radio folks. Yeah, there's no more borders. So
it's a perfect analogy. There are no more borders, and the fact that these what we would call a smaller companies, and they're going international, and they're like, we want to be part of this, and we need to step up, and we want to be in your magazine. And I was kind of taken aback when they first started coming in. I mean, it's at least 4 or 5, and the artwork is awesome. You would not know that they're just small. One owner, but they have national distribution, the whole bit.
They got it now. you've helped them to also, you've helped them to raise their game as well, because you've got to remember, folks out there, this is a chance for you to advertise in Upscale Magazine. This is a time for you to uplift your brand, to take it to a wide audience. This is one of the few publications that's still out there on the newsstands. First of all, let me as well say, they also, Upscale Magazine has a very big digital print as well, digital as well as, you know, print, you know, turn the page type thing. So, you know, you're doing it up. And you have the reputation. You know, Upscale is known. I was telling somebody, and this is what I say, and this is the God's honest truth. Just yesterday, I think it was, I was talking with someone, and I said, let me just drop that. I get to work with Upscale. So I'm trying to remember whom I was. Oh, you know who I was talking to? Okay. You're going to hear this, and I'm going to shout her out. Her name is Jackie from Jackrabbit Eats. She does the plant-based cooking. So she's coming to the Hair Radio show. So I'm talking with Jackie yesterday. Okay. You know, we're getting ready for the show, you know, her upcoming appearance and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, yeah, you know, I'm working with Upscale Magazine. No, I said, Upscale something. I think I just said Upscale or what have you. And she's like, and then she didn't really say much. And then a couple minutes later, I said something else, and I said Upscale Magazine. Upscale Magazine, the real Upscale Magazine, I swear to you, I kid you not, she couldn't believe it. And when she comes to this show, I'm going to play this back for her so that you can hear this.
Yes, the real Upscale Magazine. We've gone through, and you've been here with me.
It is a household brand name.
Well, you know what happened is in business, you have to remain relevant, and so right, you know, you've been here with me all year with all the transitions, you've been right here with me. Thank you.
Yeah.
And
you're welcome.
Now we're getting our website updated. And I've been speaking with the webmaster that's doing that.
Wow. And that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
Yes. That in itself is a lot of work. And then I'm getting ready for on the sales side, which is the fuel for our train, Carrie. I have to work with my sales rep. So we're doing, there's some days I do 3 Zoom meetings. And then
I don't know how you do it all, Miss Millen. You know, this lady works tirelessly. I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
Well, thank you for that. But I'm praying that, you know, you have an idea. Okay. Well, let's work this plan and plan this work, and hopefully it'll work out. And then I will be on somebody's island. I'm telling you. I'm gonna have to shut it down. But
well,
we gotta get through.
Yes. Well, I'll be right there with
we
you.
We gotta get through the planning season. I know.
Yeah.
I know you're gonna
be right there with you.
Can you bring Pippi on the plane, or is Pippi too old to be on the plane?
Believe it or not, you really do remind me of those days, because that was the whole conversation I had when I with Joan Rivers. That was the whole thing, because back in those days they did not allow the dogs on the plane, and they were just restarting that or starting it back. And so she had a little dog. If you ever see Joan, she always had a little dog with her. That was a little doggy. And so when she got off the plane and she was there getting her luggage up, and I'm chatting with her because I was all dressed in a nice suit, and you know, I was a manager at the airline and this and that. So I asked her, actually, I had on a suit, but I did not have you couldn't tell I was an employee. So I asked her for her autograph for my colleague, and I got it. She was very sweet, and she talked about that. And because of that, they started bringing the dogs on the plane again. So, yeah, I would take Pepe with me because you could put him in under the seat. You could put them under the seat.
Yeah.
And he's a good dog when he travels. A lot of dogs would be barking up a storm, and you wouldn't know what to do with yourself. But, no, my little doggie would be good, and I think he would be good. So, yeah, good stuff.
Well, I think
I just love having you here this morning.
Well, thank you. I just turned on the radio, and look at it.
Yeah.
And you got my playlist. Oh my God, that's amazing. I mean, I sent it, and I just wanted. I'm like, okay, you know, every night, usually after 8, because usually by then I finished out my paperwork, whatever. I turn on and listen until like 8 to 11 every night. So
wonderful.
I'm like, okay, can you just do this for me? And look at that. How about that?
Well, we most certainly did. We found some great songs that you suggested, and we put them on the show, and we love them. And they're already incorporated into the network, so we are real excited about that. And coming up, like I said, we got one of – and this one is one of my old favorites, too. Now, I love this. I always get – I'll just tell you guys this. I always get, you always remind us of Teddy Pendergrass. I always got that growing up. Oh, you look like Teddy Pendergrass.
I can see that.
Yeah.
You're
very kind. Well, Miss Millie, you look like a mixture of Teddy Pendergrass and Frederick Douglass. So that's what I got. So I'll park it there on that one, Miss Millie.
Okay. Okay,
yeah, I got Frederick Douglass, so that should say a lot, okay? But listen, I just have to tell you, we thank you so much for bringing all this together and all the work that you're doing at Upscale. Appreciate Upscale Magazine. It is a stalwart in this community, and the work that you are doing is helping to get that out to everybody, even beyond what we ever dreamt. So, again, no borders. So, Ms. Millie, you'll be checking in with us again soon. And go to upscalemagazine.com, upscalemagazine.com, which is where you need to be visiting every day, checking on what's new. And as always, there's still a lot of information there, even though I know that the website is being updated. It's still got a lot of great things there that you can read And, of course, upscalemagazineradio.com as well. We'll see you back here soon, Ms. Millie. And we're going to get some more of your songs on. So, you know, and of course, you'll be over listening at the radio, upscalemagazineradio.com as well. So, great stuff
okay.
today.
Okay. Thank you, guys. All Thanks, right. Michael.
You got it.
Great day.
You got it.
All right. All right, thank you, Miss Millie.
Talk to you soon.
All right, you got to see you after the show. Okay. All right, Michael Hopkins. So, what did you think? Is it not fantastic to check in with Miss Millie over at Upscale? What did you think today?
Oh yeah, Miss Millie always has something new and exciting to tell us about what's going on at Upscale, and I really liked what she was talking about with Arsenio Hall.
Oh,
because that just brings back so many memories. Yeah, just like you were saying, the reason being, I remember one particular episode on there where he had the future president, or was Bill Clinton. I don't remember if he was president.
Yeah.
And you remember when he was playing the saxophone?
Well, right. That's what they say how he became president, because they said, you know, if that Bill Clinton was not thought of as cool so much prior to that, until he was playing a sax. Because remember, we were looking at him and calling him, what they used to call him, buddy, but some real awful word or whatever. But when he played the sax on that show, and the show brought in careers like Mariah Carey and so many who were just in the heyday of television and pop culture. And so this was huge. And, and Clinton, they say this is how he won. Now, this was long before the Monica Lewinsky scandal and all that kind of stuff.
Way before, because I remember he had the shades on. He was playing the sax. If I remember correctly, he was playing a rendition of Heartbreak Hotel.
I think it was Heartbreak Hotel. Wow.
Oh yeah, I can still see him missing the notes on the saxophone. I can still hear it.
Oh, get out of here, Michael!
Yeah, because I remember.
Michael, how can you go in?
Yeah, because he pointed. I remember Arsenio Hall before Bill Clinton started to play, and Arsenio Hall was standing on the stage, and he kind of pointed to him. And I mean, it was really cool though, because like you're saying, Bill Clinton, nobody saw him as being cool. But all of a sudden, here he is with the dark shades on, you know, like something out of the 50s, and he's playing a saxophone.
I think it's seared in our memories. Yeah. Well, I was shocked that Miss Millie brought up about that, but I was also very happy to hear, because that's, you know, a part of our history, and certainly have lots of memories of California, as you could tell.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know we were going to go this deep.
Yeah, and
no
Carrie, I was just thinking about something. That was, when you think about it, that was the heyday of the Fox Network. That was their heyday. You remember with them, they would try just about anything, just about any kind of show, and they launched a lot of careers of a lot of people, like Johnny Depp, Holly Robinson Peake.
I don't know if they helped to launch a lot, because what a lot of television networks, what they would do early on, when they would start up a new network, they would usually bring on a lot of a segment of the population, so black shows, and that's how they would build a following. And then after they get a following, they kind of start to abandon the black folks. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say, but, and I'm not saying that a Fox or what have you, I'm saying that in general, that has happened in the past. It's not a secret. So listen, tomorrow, Michael, I have to say, this has been a great show today on this Thursday morning.
Quite
August
true. 4th. Quite true.
Say. Yeah. It's been very different. I knew we were going to get in some talk this morning. The wonderful thing about the Hair Radio Morning Show is you never know where we're going to go. You don't know what celebrity is going to drop by. You have no idea. Today it was Upscale Magazine. They are legendary in the homes of people, period, around the country. And so I love upscale. You know, I've done some great things working in tandem with the amazing folks there. And I can't wait to tell you more. I've got some other little tidbits I'll be sharing with you guys real soon. And we're killing it. It's been fantastic. So today was really cool. We kicked off with a whole bunch of talk on Will Smith and Chris Rock and Jada. You know, so all of that, we kind of rehashed a little bit of that. We also brought folks up to date on what's happening with Will Smith's recent opinion and video and all of that, and just a lot of stuff going on. So, Michael, now, today's show, was it as exciting as the Vet Talk radio show?
Actually, a lot more exciting this one today.
Oh,
because,
really?
You know, it was like,
wow.
I mean, from the candles to...
the candle talk.
I mean,
the show.
Just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Miss Morrow, Cheryl Morrow, I really
Cheryl
dug
Morrow.
Deep into her.
Yeah. You know what, Michael? We do a show from 6 to 9 in the morning, New York time, 5 to 8 Central. And for you guys out on the West Coast, that would be 3 to 6 in the morning. But the great news is you can play the show back anytime, day or night. It also airs at upscalemagazineradio.com, so you can catch it all over there as well. I'm grateful that we take so seriously putting together content each day that the listeners want to hear. And just like Millie's playlist, which really brought her to the line this morning on the show and brought her to our fans who got a treat to hear all about upscale. And don't forget Bronner Brothers, she mentioned that as well. And so in their current issue, you'll see a lot of my stuff is in there too. I had the pleasure of creating some graphics for the magazine as well. I think I have a lot of pages in there. And so I'm real happy about that. I'll keep you guys informed. Money Long is her name, M-U-N-I-L-O-N-G, for us older folks. Money Long is, she's an incredible artist and very talented lady, gorgeous lady on the cover of the magazine. Absolutely drop dead gorgeous, amazing makeup and amazing hair and everything else. She's a beautiful lady. Her name again, Money Long, M-U-N-I-L-O-N-G. So real good stuff. And we've been doing some really good things on the network as well. And by the way, she's a singer, writer, and all of that. She has some of my favorite songs.
Wow, she's just all around, isn't
yeah.
she, Carrie?
She does. She's really talented and quite lovely. Now, on tomorrow's Friday show, again, we have a special guest at 8. We've got some live stuff happening mid-show. It's Fan Day Friday on the way. It's Friday, August 5th tomorrow. My birthday is the 12th, so we're going to be celebrating on air for 3 hours. It's a lot going in, so it's going to be a party. I can assure you of that. From beginning to end, I'm playing some of my fans. Favorite song, some of my favorite, what is it, my own playlist on Friday, so I'll play some of those songs. And Michael, you're going to have to fill us in. What's one of the songs on your playlist that you've been working on?
Oh, it has to be We Are Family by Sister Sledge.
I should have guessed that one. Sister Sledge, they are from Philadelphia, PA.
And
Michael, didn't you go to school with one of them or
yep,
two of
I
them
the,
or some
I
of
had
them?
That opportunity in the 60s to go to school with three of them, with Joni
wow.
and Kim. And, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, Joni
I had
is
that,
the,
that
the one that was the lead singer, right? Which one is the – no,
yeah.
the lead was the
– It was Kathy? What am I saying, Kathy?
Yeah,
Kathy. But
because
yeah,
she's out in front nowadays. Whenever they perform now as the Sister Sledge, you see Kathy is led by Kathy Sledge. Her name is out in front, like Diana Ross.
Wow! But they live
yeah,
right up in
I
Northeast DC, not DC, Philadelphia. I'm sorry, I've been
I'm
down here for so long.
Move.
Yeah, I've been down here for so long in the D.C. area. But, yeah, they were in Northeast
Michael
D.C.
Hopkins is from
Washington.
Philadelphia, too,
D.C.,
folks.
Philadelphia.
Yep. Yeah, so am I. Let me also say that.
Oh yeah, but we all went to school together. We went to elementary and into junior high together back then. I even have and this is really dating me. I have a picture of us graduating back then.
Okay, well, you got to take a picture and send it over. I'll share it on out. Did they sing way back then, We Are Family?
Oh yeah. Well, they were very talented even back then.
They really were.
They were very talented even back in the 60s when they were kids. Yeah. Cuz when we used to have school plays and talent shows, they would always be part of the talent show and they would always win. So,
I
remember.
I'm in shock.
And I saw them, and you know, Carrie, I saw them after the 60s. The next time I saw them was like in the mid-70s.
They remember you, Michael Hopkins?
Oh, yeah. I went to their house. I knocked on the door, went to their house, and they said, oh, it's you. Yeah. I mean, we went to
hear
school.
All about the rest of this story on tomorrow's edition. So you don't want to miss it. Tune in from 6 to 9 Eastern for the next installment of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I'm going to thank all of our amazing fans everywhere, Upscale Magazine, Miss Millie, everybody who was on the show, of course, Cheryl Morrow. At this difficult time, of course, we're still kind of reeling from the death of Willie Morrow, and so many others who all participated, my amazing co-stars, co-hosts, everybody. All right, so here's Miss Millie's other favorite song, Feel the Fire, one of her playlist songs. We'll see you back here tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Thank you.
In my